So how is everybody today? Good. Summer going well? Lots of people in and out on vacation. Some faces we haven't seen lately. Have been on vacation forever, seems like. Summer is always a weird time for a church like this. So many people going back and forth. We have lots of young families, and you have to take your outages, so to speak. So we've seen a lot of different people in and out of here. But I've got a question this morning. Out of those that are here and married, has anybody been married longer than 40 years? Oh, we've got one. How long? 47. Yeah, can you add them together? Karen and I have been married 41. We weren't sure if we were the oldest married couple or not yet, but that's cool. That is an unusual thing these days, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But today I want to talk a little bit about commitment in marriage and sometimes how compromise plays into that. But the first thing I want to do is read you a verse. There's no slides today. This is more of just kind of a casual talk thing. But this morning I want to share just two verses with you. The first one is the one I want you to really remember. It's Genesis 2:24. I think most people have heard this one. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That hold fast to the wife is a symbol of what? Commitment. It's not a thing that you get in and out of easily. Holding fast means you are committed. Now, commitment is not popular these days in a lot of circles. You know, I was trying to think of the best example I could have of commitment and how that works, and Bubba came to mind of all people. Commitment, yeah. Some of you may not know, Bubba has done some crazy things on motorcycles in the past. And I had to think about that because I've seen some of the things he's done on video and things. This is pretty typical of anybody that does stunts like this. Bubba, when you're doing a jump, there becomes a point, right, that you are committed. There's no turning back, right? You get there and there's no turning back. And so you're going to go do this jump over buses, water, whatever it might be. So you're committed. You get there and it's on. What are the two possible results? Success, crowd cheers, or you crash and burn? That's the two things. Our problem these days is so many people are fearing the crash and burn part that they won't do the commitment part. They're like, oh, I'm going to be committed. This is going to be a forever thing. I don't think I can do this. What happens if something goes wrong? I don't want to do this. And we're going to talk a little bit how through time our view of marriage and things has changed and some things that Karen and I have done that may be different than what you've done. But just wanted to share these things today. Starting in 1956, the median married age for men was 22.5 and women was 20.1. 22.5 for young men, 20.1 for women. In 2023, that age had changed to 30.2 years old for men and 28.4 years old for women. That is a tremendous difference in when you're getting married. How many of you thought you were very mature at around 21 years old and had it all figured out? How many of you actually were very mature and had it all figured out? We've got one. And she has an engineering brain like me, so I'll accept that. But yeah, that's one of the things that's changed so much. People are getting married later. Wall Street Journal says this. It says, success requires years of preparation before tying the knot and still more years of dedication thereafter. Married couples must possess communication skills, fiscal responsibility, vocational competence, moral discipline, self-denial, and emotional control. Spending your youth living for yourself hardly fosters any of these. That is a difference. If you live on your own till you're 30 years old, do you think you're more set in your ways than you were at 21? Absolutely. You have formed patterns in your life that are going to be difficult to break. We see guys that are 30 years old living in their parents' basement playing Call of Duty. Am I right? When I was growing up, if you were 30 years and not married, well, that was weird. If you were intended to get married, you were married by what? 25 maybe was the outline. Women were old maids at 25. You wouldn't know if you were going to get married or not. And things have changed. But that change has made it more difficult sometimes, because what do we do when we live on our own and do our own thing for so long? What do we become? Selfish. That's the exact word. We become selfish. We want things done our way. Now, those of you that have been married for some time, how many times has being selfish worked really great in your marriage? I don't think anybody's going to raise their hand for that. When we become selfish, it makes things so much more difficult. But now, we're living in a time, and it's always been this way, it's just society changes and our views of marriage and everything else changes as society changes. Society today encourages selfish living and living for yourself. Does it not? Anything you say, if you are successful, you are living whose dream? Your dream. It's not our dream as a married couple. You're living your dream and you're becoming successful. And you're becoming your own man or your own woman. You're doing all these things on your own that only encourage selfishness. If you're not successful and happy, there's something wrong with you. And you need to change your life to be successful and happy. Well, happy isn't all that great sometimes anyway. But look at these things that the Wall Street Journal says you should do before getting married. There are things that it takes to be married. You got to have communication skills. You got to be able to talk to each other. You need fiscal responsibility. That means you can't blow all your money on toys. Yes, Karen, I have not blown all of my money on toys. Thank you. And she can rebut that if she wants to. But vocational competence. You have to be able to get a job and hold it. Somebody in the family has to work. Things don't come for free. You've got to be able to work to be able to get by. Moral discipline. How many marriages have failed because someone was immoral and went and stepped outside the bounds of their marriage? And then emotional control. You can't be emotionally up and down and doing this all the time. All these things are necessary for a great marriage. Now, how did Karen and I make it? Well, I can tell you the first thing is, I was thinking about that this morning, it was not based on gifts and going out to eat dinners on occasions. Am I right, Karen? What did we do for our 40th anniversary? I don't know either. So see, we're how compatible we are. I have no clue. Everybody else would have been, well, we went on this. We went on a cruise. We went out to eat at Ruth Chris. We don't know. We may have gone to the Crystal. I don't know, and watched an episode of something on the DVR. But that works for us. It's fine. There's no big problem there. Some people, the gifts and dinners and things mean more to them. What did we get each other for our 40th anniversary? Nothing. We didn't do anything. We didn't get each other anything. We had more important things that we valued. If we did anything that was close to celebrating our 40th anniversary, they said, well, we'll just wait till when we go on vacation in anniversary. That's the closest thing we could come up with. We didn't do anything special, but we compromise. We get along. We try to find ways that we arrive at mutually agreed upon decisions. That's a very important phrase in a marriage, is mutually agreed upon decisions. If you both don't agree on those things, it's not going to work. It's going to be turmoil. It's going to be in emotions and things all the time if you don't come to those decisions you agree. How do you think it would have gone if Karen said, I want us to get dressed up, go out to eat, and I want you to get me a nice gift for our 40th anniversary? I said, oh, heck no, let's just go to Disney. We know what works for us. We know how to work those things out. And one of the things I would like to say here, just to interject, is everyone does things differently, okay? Our marriage model may not work at all for you. You may be the type of couple that it means a lot to celebrate each year or each anniversary or to go out to eat or to go on a trip. Those things may mean a lot to you. Everyone's marriage can be different. The principle is the same, that you have to be committed to each other, maybe compromise about, but when you reach that nucleus, that thing that works for you, don't let other people's try and put their expectations on your marriage. Does that make sense? Don't let other people try and change the way you have things working. If it's working, you don't have to change based on that. Karen, how many times did we go, my previous employer offered a marriage seminar. How many times did we go to that? Never. We never went. It's like, this will strengthen your marriage. Like, no, it won't. This is awful. Oh, but you get a night away from your kids and we can put you up in a hotel room. And I'm like, if we're going to get a night away from our kids, we're going to go somewhere and do something we won't. We're not going to go and listen to somebody we may not even like to hear speak. We're not going to do that. And we did. We never did. I used to joke, one of my friends at work went to this marriage seminar, I think, 4 or 5 times, which that sounds great, doesn't it? The problem was he went with 3 different wives. 3 different wives that he took to this. I began to question its, you know, the value of it. One of our married couples, it was one of the managers in the company, his wife said, "We're not going because we don't want to get divorced. Everybody that goes to this thing seems to get divorced." But it worked for some people. Some people, it strengthened their marriage. But we knew what was acceptable for us and what we could do and we couldn't do. But this compromise thing, this idea of getting along despite differences, you don't have to give up all of your own interests to compromise sometimes. Does that make sense? You don't have to give up being you. For example, yesterday, Karen came out to the big 4th of July celebration at Saudi Lake and lasted, what, 35, 40 minutes before you were ready to go home? I stayed out there till, I don't know, late afternoon sometime. And she, "Hey, if you want to eat lunch with your buddies out there, just hang out there. I'm going on home, no big deal. Come home when you're ready. I'll even come get you if it's too hot to walk home." That's compromise. She didn't say she wants to come home and be with me because I don't want to be out. And I didn't say, "Well, I want you out here with me because, you know, you've got to be here beside me and enjoying what I enjoy doing." Yeah. We're different. We're different individuals, but you have to compromise when you're different. The ideas don't always work the same. You have to sometimes give and take. You know, a little give and take in your marriage that will go a long ways. You know, how many of you as couples now, not individuals, like to work puzzles together? Anybody work jigsaw puzzles together? Okay, cool then. I'm not abnormal because Karen loves to work jigsaw puzzles. And I see people post on, "Oh, me and my spouse, we did this jigsaw puzzle together." I would hate that. I solve puzzles for a living all week, trying to put pieces together and make things work. I'm sitting there, why would you torture yourself doing this? I cannot believe that. I will go watch TV. I would rather scroll through absolutely useless videos on Facebook than ever to work a puzzle. I mean, it's just not my cup of tea. But Karen loves it. I encourage her to buy puzzles. We go out together and say, "Have you got this one? Would you like this?" We compromise there. She goes to car shows with me. I know she doesn't like that very well. Okay? Christmas time for several years. Where do we go on Thanksgiving weekend, Karen? Thanksgiving weekend. What do we go buy? Candles? Where? Candles at Bath and Body Works. Now, men, you have not lived till you've made a trip to Bath and Body Works with all the crazed females going to get candles on Thanksgiving weekend. Do you know how much I enjoyed that? Absolutely none. I was just there to carry the giant bag of candles to the car. That's what I was there for. Or they sometimes, yes, Karen. First Saturday in December. So if any of y'all are interested this year, it will be the first Saturday in December. I mark it off on my calendar. No, I have to go help carry the candles. But actually, Karen has slacked off on that because we are going to have to build an extra candle room in the house if we go any further, just like for some of my hobbies. But yeah, we compromise it. Guess where I like to go? Academy Sports and Bass Pro Shop. That's two of my favorite places. I'll go in there. I could look at guns and fishing rods and outdoor gear and all that. You know how much of that Karen likes? Absolutely none of that. You know what my delight in life is to go on either Bass Pro Shop or Academy Sports, and Karen finds something she likes and buys it. Oh, it is one. I don't ever find anything there. I don't know what you see in this store. And she'll come, "Oh, look what I found. Oh, that just does my heart good." You know, it's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, see, you bought something myself. I will say I have never gone in Bath and Body Works and bought anything on my own. Never, ever. But I have seen her buy things at both Bass Pro and Academy. So at least I get a little excuse to go there and you might find something you like. You never know. So, you know, but it's compromise. We do things differently. We do them together. And finally, just this last piece about compromise and how to have a successful marriage, and then we're going to continue on some more things about statistics and things about marriage. Proverbs 21:9. Does anybody know that verse? Every married man, this should be your life. Proverbs 21:9. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. That's what it says. This proverb knew that if you don't learn how to compromise, if you don't know how to live together, it is awful. You'd be better off living on the upper corner of your roof than living down here with this wife because y'all don't get along. It's a fact of life. And the proverb writer realized that there are tough things out there, that marriage is hard, that it's not an easy thing. But, you know, what has changed? Let's get to where these are all great things, but I'm talking about things that worked 40 years ago in marriage. Do you think those things work today? Some of the principles do, but a lot of things have changed, right? Do you think people that are looking to get together, that are looking to get married today, have the same life views and outlook as I do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I've noticed things just so different when you start working with younger people. I am probably one of the oldest people on our campus at school. I work with a lot of young teachers. They have very different views, very different opinions, very different life outlooks than I do. And it starts, you know, you start thinking about things. But what has changed? One of the things that has changed is millennials that are in our society are more prone to delay marriage and childbirth and more likely to live with their parents. And this is why we have decades of decline in our marriage rates. Because it started with this principle. I'm not going to get married till, you know, later in life. I'm going to live with the parents. The joke about the guy that plays Call of Duty in his basement. That, while that's a stereotype, it's very true. Young men don't get out like they used to. I wanted, as soon as I could get out and be on my own, before we were married, I owned a mobile home that we could live in, and all we had to pay was lot rent. And now, I know economies have changed and things, but that was my goal. I didn't want debt, even when we got married. I was trying to finish up college and get out as soon as I could to try and get out and have a successful marriage. Things have changed today. Our younger society looks at it. Gen Z comes along. They have this aversion to marriage, and it stems from America's failure to prepare youth for marriage. Okay, people that are, let's say, 50 and older, how many of you felt that it was your parents' expectation that you grew up and got married? There's a pretty societal standard in people this 50 and older. Their parents were saying, hey, you know, we're going to raise you. You know, it's important to find a spouse. You'll really. But today, cultural and intellectual influencers teach youth to place career aspirations and self-discovery. Would y'all agree with that? Do you see anybody that is a... And I still don't know how you become a social influencer. It looks like a great gig. You get paid lots of money to make little goofy videos, and everybody follows. Oh, they're great. You know, you get to do that. But it has changed. It's what I was talking about a minute ago, that selfishness, that self, that it is so important, your career aspirations and self-discovery. That spouse thing can wait till you're 35, 40. And we've already seen that causes problems. Do you know one thing that later millennials and Gen Z couples have that didn't exist when we were growing up? And we were young married couples, the folks my age, no-fault divorce. No-fault divorce in the United States changed the very landscape of marriage. It's an easy out. It came about, started in California, probably early 70s is about the time frame that it became popular and started spreading across. It was a monumental change in how marriage is viewed. Now there is always a way that's acceptable to society. When my parents or grandparents were growing up, divorce was taboo. Nobody got divorced. You could just be miserable and live on forever, but you didn't get a divorce. Am I right? Somebody, it didn't matter. Now, you just get tired of it, there's a way out. There's always a way out of it. And if you go into marriage looking at it as there's always a way out, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the way out at some point. You're going to say, you know what? This isn't working. But, we'll just get divorced. You know, we'll go through. You know, we'll make some changes. We'll get all that worked out. I have had more friends get divorced multiple times and stuff. Do you know what the number one killer to having, for most people to have, especially men, to have a successful financial future is divorce. It will bankrupt a young man. It will bankrupt. And you know what happens to a lot of the young women also? They don't have enough support. They can't find jobs. They have to find child care if they take the kids, you know. then they have to work two jobs to make up. We have totally blown up society with this idea because we have now children that get orphaned. These children that one spouse or the other gets them, this spouse has to work. Who winds up raising the kids now? Grandparents. Grandparents and even great-grandparents. You see it in our society. These children are given to those parents raised because the parents can't have enough time to raise their kids and make enough money to support them. That's just the way it works. And that is the that's where I think the evil in all this comes in, is this is like a master plan from Satan, doesn't it? I'll teach you some things. I will change your society's values, and I will get you to the point that either you won't get married or you'll get married and get divorced, and I can ruin lives in both ways. I can make you selfish. I can make you where you have to try and take care of children that you can't afford. I can make, you know, sex outside of marriage normalized, and I can make all these things for you to do and ruin your life and ruin your children's lives. A final stat here in this last thing I want to talk about. So we talked about commitment in marriage. We talked about, you know, how it used to be. We've talked about people being afraid of commitment. So what has the solution become? The marriage, do you know why the divorce rate is now on the decline? Does anybody know? To get divorced, what do you have to do first? You get married. Marriage rates have gone down. So now with the marriage rate going down, the divorce rate has followed. So what has happened is people aren't, and you kind of think, well, that might sound like a good idea. Doesn't sound bad. Why even get married? You know, what's the big deal about it? More research. 85% of American adults believe that cohabitation is acceptable. That is a drastic change from the 1950s model. 85% say it's okay to live together without being married, according to Pew Research study. But now here are the things that are frightening about that. Cohabitating parents, we're talking about with children involved, are less than half as likely to still be together than married parents by the time their youngest child reaches 9. This family instability is associated with more children living in poverty, with poor health, and poor education. While cohabitating couples may avoid the obvious risk of a divorce, they also avoid the commitment that binds couples together for the benefit of their children. That change has raising generations of children now that are growing up in poverty, with poor health, and poor education, because there's no parents to take care of them. Everybody's trying to do the best they can, and they can't take care of these kids. I'll give you a personal example, very real, from this week. We pulled over a young couple with Saudi Daisy's Police Department to go out, ride with them often. I was out riding third shift on the 4th of July. And we pulled this couple over. They were seriously committed. They had been dating for 3 days, they told us. That's 3 days commitment already. And we asked, "Do you have any drugs in your car, sir?" "Oh, nothing. We don't have any. We don't do that." The guy's line to us was, "I don't do that stuff. I have..." Think about this. Go on. Four kids. He had four kids. Now, any of them hers. I don't know if she had any kids or not. And then her line to us was, she didn't do drugs. Happens in 3 days that they would know that. So this was probably from another gentleman somewhere. So this is a picture of society that I'm drawing here. So this couple's out. We did, as we had probable cause, to search the car, find drugs in it. Well, guess whose drugs were? Do you remember the old Bill Cosby routine where he talks about nobody? When you ask, who did it? Nobody. Well, that's what this couple, whose drugs? Nobody's. Do you know what happens when you get in this situation? They both go to jail. They was in proximity of both of them. Nobody admits it. And then suddenly their three-day relationship breaks up. They're yours. Why don't you tell him? Well, they're not mine. I've got four kids. Do you see how messed up our society is? A fairly young guy with four kids is out with a wife that's not his own doing drugs at 3:30 in the morning on 4th of July. Where's his commitment to his kids? She says she's pregnant. Why's she out with this other guy? Excuse me. But these are things that are born of our new societal view and our lack of commitment. Do you think those people had any commitment to each other? Absolutely not. They were just out having fun, they thought. What they thought fun looked like. They had zero commitment. I would hate to guys kids. I mean, I'll tell you another quick example of this that I saw was a young man that we took to jail one night, and he was talking. We took him to the magistrate, and he was talking about, yeah, he had lived a rough life. Had raised 21 grandchildren from those broken marriages. Lack of commitment is killing our society. Lack of commitment is absolutely ruining the moral fabric of our society. And children are suffering from it. Do you think kids are better off today than they have been? No. I don't see it. When you see what it does to kids, it's horrible. But we all know these things don't work out. And this is not to slam people that have been married more than once. You know, things happen. I understand that. But if you are currently in a marriage today, you owe it to yourself, especially and you owe it to your children to stay committed, to find those areas where you to be able to live together in harmony, to figure those things out. You know, we talk about children in child custody. My parents encouraged me in this story is, you know why my parents never got divorced? It was because of me. This is what my mom has told me. She said, we never got divorced because of child custody issues. Nobody wanted to keep you. That's how bad of a kid I was. I said, so mom is always encouraging. She will still say to this day, you know, that's the reason we stuck together. Nobody wanted to get stuck with Scott. So, but, you know, we joke about that, but there are parents that do crazy things. But I want to leave you with this same verse that we started with, Genesis 2:24. There's one purpose for marriage, and this is it. A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When you become that one flesh, things in your marriage get easier. When, do you have to talk yourself in? Do you have arguments with yourself often? I don't. That my flesh, my own self, I pretty much go along with what I say. When you get one flesh in marriage, you become like that. You start communicating. You agree on things. Now, there are things that we will never agree on, and there are things that cannot be suggested. Where are we going to eat this afternoon? The universal marriage question that nobody can answer, that's one that will go down. We will have to ask God the Father when we get to heaven. You know, how are we supposed to handle this? We can't handle this. Is every Sunday afternoon. You know, where do we go? But you laugh. There are couples that would have fights about that. We just kind of like, I don't know. We may wind up going home and eating a sandwich. Who knows? But you've got to do what works for you. You've got to find what works for you. You've got to figure out how to make it last, how to take that commitment that you've made. And don't fear to make that commitment either. Don't fear that you're going to crash and burn on the other side. Look at it, the thing. If I have faith in God, who's going to help you make it through those tough times? Who's going to help you honor that commitment? Most of us that are married got married in a Christian ceremony, correct? It was a Christian. We made a vow to each other and to God. John talked a little bit about vows the last time he spoke. We made a vow not only to our spouse, to God, that we would be committed to each other and committed to Him. And if we will look at it like that, it will revolutionize your marriage, your life, and everything else. If you will honor God in that commitment, and figure the ways that make it work. Like I said, God's a big God. He can figure out how to make things work in your marriage. It may seem impossible right now. God will make things work. Yeah, Dylan, do you have a question? Fireproof, yeah. Great movie. What's the other one with the police officers in it? Courageous. Both great movies about relationships and how things work. Very good example. But as we close out today, let's just pray that God will revive that commitment, not only among our congregation, but among all of society, that we will figure out how to make these things work for God.